My mother always introduced her only son, Carl, as a senator. My brother, Carl Hayden, was the first Anglo-American child born in Tempe, which was known then as Hayden's Ferry. I remember him as we grew up together, and he was a most normal and yet unusual boy. He preached funeral services for the chickens and pets that died. He learned to swim in the Salt River near the Butte, and very early he showed an interest in national and world affairs, which would one day make him a senator.
That is Miss Sally Hayden of Tempe, sister of Senator Carl Hayden, who is now Dean of the United States Senate. Carl Hayden is an alumnus of Arizona State at Tempe, a graduate of the class of 1896, and our alumni who listen to this program, the Arizona Statesman, I am sure will be interested, along with all our other listeners, in the intimate details of Sally Hayden's life with her famous brother, which we will have in just a moment. Miss Sally Hayden, before we ask you about some of those intimate details of your childhood life with Carl, your brother, I'd like to get your reaction to a statement that appeared in the U.S. News and World Report just recently, namely that Carl Hayden is the most powerful man in the United States. What do you think about that?
If he is so considered, I think it is because his interest is not only in the state to which he has devoted his life, but to the nation. A senator asking his support on an issue gets the answer, "I look into it. If good, he votes for it." He considers everyone his friend, though they may differ politically. So I have never known him to knock an opponent.
Miss Hayden, I think that's a good answer. And I think I ought to tell our listeners that the reason the U.S. News and World Report believes Carl Hayden is the most powerful man in the United States is that, as we all know, Senator Hayden is now Dean of the United States Senate in point of service, Chairman of the all-important Appropriations Committee, and likely to be elected President pro tempore of the Senate, which would put him fourth in line for the presidency of the United States. However, his preeminence is largely derived from the fact that he holds this great position in a Congress which is democratically controlled. And then I think that is the way Harper's bases its opinion. Now, I'd like to ask you one other thing, or tell you one other thing I read this week, Miss Hayden. In Harper's Magazine, William S. White, in an article called "Who Really Runs the U.S. Senate," says that the most important thing in the Senate is what he calls the inner club. And this is what he says about your brother, Carl. Carl Hayden could very nearly be president of that inner club if only it had officers. I think that should be very pleasing to you, Miss Sally.
It certainly is.
Well, Miss Hayden, we are all interested in Carl's fabulous political career. I'm sure it has not been equaled in the West, and perhaps not even in United States history. Could you briefly tell us about the details of that career?
Why, Jimmy, I think you've answered that question in the alumni bulletin. You put a picture of my brother on the front page. First, in 1872, he was elected as a Tempe town council. Then he was sheriff of Maricopa County and treasurer. Then 1912, he was the baby state's first congressman, and now is Dean of the Senate in 1956.
Well, he served in the United States Congress until 1926, didn't he? 14 years, and then was elected to the Senate, and has just now been reelected to his sixth term. Well, another question, Miss Hayden. We know that Tempe used to be called Hayden's Ferry. How did this come to be?
Well, Jimmy, I think I can answer that best in my brother's own words in the Arizona Statesman. I was born here because my father was the first settler in what is now Tempe, and I would like to tell you something about why he happened to come here. My father, like many Connecticut Yankees, went west, and on his way taught school in log schoolhouses in Kentucky and Indiana. He finished out the term of a school near St. Louis, Missouri, where the teacher had resigned after a fist fight with one of the big boys in the school. The big boy sized up the new teacher and decided not to take him on. In 1848, my father embarked on a trading expedition from Independence, Missouri, across the plains with freight teams to Santa Fe, and down the Rio Grande to Chihuahua in Old Mexico. He maintained his headquarters in Santa Fe until after the Gadsden Purchase, then freighted his stock of goods to Tucson in 1858, where he remained in business for the next 14 years. By that time, Port Isabel had been established at the mouth of the Colorado River so that he could buy goods in San Francisco, have them sent by sailing vessels down the Pacific and up the Gulf of California. From Port Isabel, they came up the Colorado River in flat-bottomed, stern-wheel steamboats to Yuma. His freight teams then hauled the goods on the overland route south of the Gila to Tucson. He used his mule teams to haul his own goods, but also contracted to haul supplies to various army posts in Arizona. The troops at that time were engaged in fighting the Apache Indians, which was a tough tribe to conquer and confine to their reservations. In the late 1860s, the Arizona military headquarters was moved from Tucson to Whipple Barracks near Prescott, and in order to submit bids on freighting contracts, he had to go there. He had never been north of the Gila, and at Florence they told him that the best crossing on the Salt River, with less danger of quicksand, was between two buttes on the south bank of the river.